Dear listener, it is indeed a pleasure to be back with a message from the Word of the Lord. I need your prayers. What a great responsibility to rightly divide the Word of truth, especially as this truth, when tracing the historical events and future prophecies concerning God's church through the book of Revelations. I am discussing the second coming of Christ. First, let me say the book of Revelations is made up of symbolic language. However, we should be aware that symbolic language is not confined or restricted to the book of Revelations. Who can forget Joseph's dream out of the 11 sheaves that made obeisance into his sheaf? Genesis 37:7-8. His 11 brethren were angered because its meaning was apparent. They should be humble before him. Also, the dream of the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars was understood to signify the subjection of the entire family unto him, which was actually fulfilled after Joseph's exaltation in Egypt. Again, the 40 visions of King Nebuchadnezzar's wonderful image was explained by Daniel as signifying 4 universal monarchies and the 10 toes as signifying the 10 minor kingdoms which grew out of the 4th. While the stone that was cut out of the mountain without human intervention, he interpreted as signifying the divine kingdom of God. Daniel 2. Even as also in the book of Revelations itself, we have a number of symbols divinely interpreted. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. The 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. The waters which thou sawest are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And so it can be seen that the great underlying principle or law upon which symbolic language is based is analogy, or in other words, the similarity and likeness of certain things which are otherwise not alike. An object is chosen to represent not itself, but something of similar character. The dictionary defines symbol as something that stands for or suggests something else by reason of relationship, association, convention, or accidental resemblance, especially a visible sign of something invisible. Therefore, we might say the lion is a symbol of courage. The lamb is a symbol of meekness or patience. Thus, a beautiful virgin bride is chosen to represent the church of God, whereas a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns is chosen to symbolize a pagan Roman Empire. Surely, we do not expect to find great dragons and prehistoric dinosaurs going to war with people, do we? Are these natural things the enemies of God's church? Certainly not. For the enemies of the truth are the spiritual forces under the control of Satan, and he comes in different guises to deceive. The glorious body of God's reformers is set forth under the symbol of an angel from heaven, with his face as the sun, his feet as pillars of fire, and a rainbow upon his head. The anti-Christian persecuting power of Rome is described as a ferocious wild beast, stamping everything beneath its feet and spreading desolation on every side. Thus, even at this early point, it appears evident that the mark of the beast is not a literal mark or number, but a spiritual condition existing in the lives of those who conform to the false religious systems prevalent in the world. There are some limitations as to how far certain things or creatures can be symbolized, an example being that of God. To who, then, will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Isaiah 40:18. Man cannot represent him, neither can angels. He is described as one sitting upon a throne. The same is true of Jesus, the Savior. He is described as I am the first and the last, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Again, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. The souls of the martyrs are represented as crying unto God from the altar for the avenging of their blood on those who dwell on the earth. Where is there an object in all creation symbolic of a disembodied spirit? None is found. So, they are described as the souls of them that were slain, Revelation 6, 9, 10. Also 24. Now, since we're dealing especially with events that will take place at the second coming of Christ, let us go to the book of Revelations and use these symbols to find the answers to some of those perplexing questions, such as the millennium or the thousand years reign. First, may I make another statement? You may remember that I said nowhere in the Bible could I find where the rapture is mentioned. The second coming of Christ is mentioned, but not the rapture. So far, no one has supplied that information to me. Again, I fail to find the millennium mentioned as such anywhere in the Bible. These terms are often used by folks who are misinformed concerning the events which are to take place at the second coming of Christ. Some teach a pre-millennium and some a post-millennium. But friends, does the Bible really teach a literal reign or kingdom of Christ which will be established upon this earth at His second coming? If so, where and when? I see no time or need for a millennium, and I also fail to find scriptures to substantiate such a claim. Perhaps this point is sure to bring a conflict of thought. And I can almost hear someone say, read the 20th chapter of Revelations. This is exactly what I'm going to do. Let us study through verse 6 today. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelations 20, 1, 6. First, notice the binding of the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan. This represents the deceitful power of the pagan and false religions which held sway over the nations. At the coming of the pure gospel light, when the church sprang forth in all its glory in the morning time, the angel represents the ministers who were given power to rebuke and bind that deceptive power of Satan. Folks were either in or out. Some even durst not join themselves to the number of the true saints for fear of them. And even though the church began to show a decline and falling away after a period of time, still, it was universally known there was one true God, and witchcraft and spiritualism did not hold the sway over the nations as they at one time had. Christianity prevailed. The power of Satan was bound for a long period of time, and during this same time, thousands of martyrs who would not recant were slain under the reign of Catholicism which followed. It is written of them that they lived and reigned with Christ. It was those who had part in the first resurrection that were exalted to this honored position with Christ. Those who teach a millennium usually assume that this refers to a literal resurrection at the second coming of Christ, but no such thing is hinted at. In this scripture, not one word is said about literally resurrected saints reigning. John says, I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Nothing whatever is said about any reign on earth at all. But the description shows plainly that it was disembodied spirits that were reigning with Christ in paradise during the period that followed the casting down of the dragon, which was in reality one of long apostasy and darkness on earth. This same thought concerning the reign of the martyrs in paradise while the powers of evil triumphed on earth was brought to view in chapter 6, 9, 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. This company of souls that the apostles saw reigning with Christ above were those who had had part in the first resurrection, which had made them blessed and holy. They were not on earth. They were disembodied spirits above, hence had not been literally resurrected. The scriptures clearly teach that mankind, in their ordinary condition, are dead in trespasses and in sins, and that through salvation, which makes them blessed and holy, they are quickened to a new life in Christ, Ephesians 2:1. That this is scripturally the first resurrection is proven most positively by the words of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Our Father, we believe in thee through the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now bless the message to the good of every listener. May each one be willing to accept the truth and have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, be sure to keep listening to the broadcast, as we're not through with this second coming yet. We might even discuss the Battle of Armageddon. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may the Lord bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.